All right. Good evening. We do have five, so we're good. welcome to the City Council study session for Tuesday, March 26th, 2024. We need a motion on approval of the regular study session minutes.
I move to approve the regular study session minutes of February 27th of 2024.
Second.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. And I would mention before I throw it to City Manager that I know that Councilmember Pianfetti is out at a funeral, and Councilmember Gladney had an event this evening that he was at. I don't know about Councilmember Negus. And anybody who wants to move closer so I'm not all by myself, you're welcome to do that. City Manager.
Thank you, Your Honor. The next item on the agenda is the public hearing for the fiscal year 2024-25 annual action plan. Council may recall that ordinarily we would place that after the study session so that staff can do the full presentation on the action plan for the benefit of the public before we entertain comments. And it was just an inadvertent error that we followed our standard agenda, but we'd appreciate if you guys could make a motion to actually move the public hearing after the staff presentation so that it kind of follows in a logical order.
Per the city manager's suggestion, I move to move the public hearing for FY 2024-25 annual action plan to follow today's discussion of the FY 24-25 annual action plan and 2024 private activity volume cap bond allocation.
Second.
All right, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. So do you want me to turn over to staff? Or, okay, I'm turning over to Jennifer or Betsy or both.
There is an introductory statement for opening the presentation.
I thought that was for the public hearing. Right, and we're doing the public hearing after your presentation.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Mayor, and good evening, City Council. My name is Jennifer Carlson. I'm the Programs Manager in Neighborhood Services, and with me tonight is Betsy Barclay, a Community Development Specialist. And tonight, we're here to present to you information on the annual action plan and the bond cap. I'm going to turn the presentation over to Betsy now.
Thank you, Jennifer, and good evening. Each year, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development allocates community development block grant funds to the City of Champaign. How much we are allocated and is formula-based, and it depends on the current population and the needs in the city. These funds flow through the Neighborhood Programs Division of the Neighborhood Services Department and must be spent on affordable housing and community development activities that benefit people with low to moderate incomes. So what is the annual action plan? The annual action plan is approved by HUD, and it describes our plans and activities for those CDBG funds for the upcoming fiscal year. However, the annual action plan is part of a larger plan, the five-year consolidated plan. The consolidated plan, or CON plan, as I said, is a five-year plan that identifies the strategies and resources that are available to meet affordable housing and community development needs and objectives within the city. The CON plan is divided into three main parts: a community needs assessment, a five-year strategic plan, and a one-year action plan. Think of it like this. The needs assessment and the strategic plan portions of the CON plan identify and lay out the overreaching goals of the five-year CON plan. The annual action plan lays out the activities that the city will undertake to accomplish the goals of the five-year plan in a given year. For each five-year CON plan, there are five annual action plans, and this plan is for year five of the CON plan. Currently, we are doing the work of implementing the activities spelled out in the 23-24 annual action plan, working on identifying and discussing the needs for the 24-25 annual action plan and have begun the process of creating the 2025 through 2029 CON plan. It's important to remember that the annual action plan only speaks to the CDBG portion of the budget for the programs division. We have other programs, initiatives, and activities that are funded through other pots of money like federal, state, and local dollars. It's also important to note that only certain types of activities can be carried out with CDBG funds. On this slide is a list of CDBG eligible activities. Housing activities can include rehab for safety to address safety issues and accessibility issues. Eliminating slum and blight can include activities like demolishing detached garages or dilapidated fences. Planning and administration activities include the work that goes into the plans and reports, like this presentation here tonight, and the day-to-day operations of administering the programs. We do not yet know the allocation amount, but based on previous years, the allocation is likely to be around $885,000. We also have prior year funds in the amount of about $356,000, which brings us to a total CDBG allocation of $1.2 million for fiscal year 24-25. Now I'm going to hand it back over to Jennifer, and she's going to talk about the activities we can do with this money.
Thanks, Betsy. Before we get started with the proposed activities, I want to just take a moment to look at what we accomplished in fiscal year 22-23. We spent about $890,000 in CDBG funds and benefited 376 households or individuals. The way that breaks down, 39 of those beneficiaries were households that had rehab, and then the remaining 337 were youths that had some programming through Community Matters. Oh, I went the wrong way. So that's kind of the big picture of what we do, and we talk a lot about those big numbers, but I wanted to break it down and tell you the story of one individual, one household that received assistance from the city's housing rehab programs. And you see here a photo of a home that has a homeowner-occupied household. There are two adult males that live in this home. They're both seniors. One of them is disabled. And the city received emergency response calls from this address. And when fire would go to this property, they were having challenges entering the home because the front porch and the front steps were dangerous. They were not able to safely enter the home. They referred the property to our code compliance team, and now there's an active code compliance case, and the fire department is concerned for their safety upon entering. Step in programs, where we come in and do a minor home repair project. We repaired the stairs, and I'm on next slide here. You can see what the before and the after looked like. So that front porch, those stairs are now safe for our emergency rescue staff to enter the home. It's safe for the residents to enter out, in and out, and their guests. And then additionally, we're putting a ramp on the back entrance to the home for the person who has more significant mobility needs. So when we say we helped 39 households, every single one of those 39 households has a story like this. So it benefits not just the household, but it's benefiting the city at a larger angle there. So I just wanted to share one example of our housing rehabs, because we're going to talk tonight about the proposed activities that we're doing, and we're going to talk a lot about housing rehab. We've really prioritized that in this plan, as we have for the past many years. So for next year, we're looking at preserving affordable housing through our housing rehab programs. We're looking at a new activity where we're going to partner with Habitat to create more affordable housing, and then public service activities, a longstanding activity that the city has funded in our Community Matters program. So that's what we're looking at. Here's the big money here. So the first five activities in our plan are related to housing rehab. It's about $700,000, all of our programs that'll address those safety needs and the accessibility needs. And then after that, you'll see $132,000 for our public service. That's capped at 15% of our grant. We can't go any higher than that. We can go up to 15% of the grant. And then this new activity, which I'm going to speak to in a moment, related to site prep at Habitat for Humanity properties. We've got $15,000 there. And then activities 8 and 9, those are our the funds that we need to administer our programs, so staffing and the expenses related to administering CDBG programs. So all told, it's $1.2 million. But I want to remind everybody again, this is a contingency. There's contingency language in our plan to deal with the fact that Congress hasn't passed a budget yet, and we don't have our amount from HUD, and we don't know when we're going to get our amount from HUD. So right now, we're kind of in a holding pattern. We've created this draft plan with contingency language in it. What we can tell you is that our public services will be funded at 15% of the grant amount. Our planning and admin will be funded at 20% of our grant amount. And then the housing rehab programs will go up or down based on whatever that amount is from HUD. So next, I wanted to talk a little bit more about preserving affordable housing through our housing rehab programs. Why does the city continue to want to offer a large portion of our plan towards these types of programs? So I've got various information points to share with you here. So one of the things that Betsy did during her public input process was a survey where we canvassed the target neighborhoods, and we held neighborhood meetings, and we shared a survey. And as you can see, to the question, if you own your own home, what factors, if any, are barriers to maintaining or remaining in your home? And home maintenance was the number one response, 28%. You'll see a high number of none because those were renters. So the number one reason for homeowners was home maintenance. We know we have a high demand for our programs. We have a waiting list. It rolls over from year to year. We know that we're the only organization in Champaign that provides this type of a service with our rehabs. And then, interestingly, we launched our new program, the Vital Home Repair Program. Applications are being accepted through March 29th. But in just the 2 days that the program's been opened, it opened Monday morning at 8 a.m., we've received over 300 applications. So that's telling us that there's a very high demand for people that have homeowner occupied housing repair needs. And then additional information about preserving affordable housing through rehab. This is some information that comes from the American Community Survey. We can tell that there are over 1,000 housing units that are owner occupied that have one or more of the four severe housing problems. And you're wondering, what is a severe housing problem? Well, that is a unit that has an incomplete kitchen, it has incomplete plumbing. The household is cost burdened. They're paying more than 30% of their income towards their housing costs, or it's overcrowded where more than 1.5 people are staying in a bedroom. So when you look at that, there's 7% of our owner-occupied housing has one of those severe problems. So it's a need. I have this next slide in here because I want to show the community the income threshold for many of our housing repair programs to be eligible. For a family of four, a household of four people, the income threshold would be $77,000. So someone under $77,000 would qualify for most, if not all, of our housing repair programs. And then there's a photo on this slide, too, that shows you a before and after of one of the properties that we assisted. On this particular home, we replaced the roof, the siding, the windows, and the door. This is actually the back of someone's house, but that, you know, makes a pretty good impression. I know our photos aren't the best quality. We need to improve our photo skills, but it made a big difference for this homeowner. All right, the next proposed activity is the one that I'm really excited about because it's a new one, and we've had a long partnership with Habitat for Humanity. We have given them lots through our lot disposition process. We have partnered with the Urbana Home Consortium to give them funds for their builds. And in fact, there are two home dedications coming up in the next couple of weeks, where over $30,000 were given in home funds to each of those builds. So between our funding and our lots, we've been a great partner with Habitat. But anyway, if you look at that top right picture, that is an actual lot that Habitat owns that they want to build a house on that this summer. Can you see that there's quite a bit of clearance that needs to be done before they could even begin construction? And one of the things that Habitat has been telling us is that it's costing so much more for them to build their homes. What used to cost $120,000 in their homes now costs them $160,000. So they are looking for additional resources to help them, you know, lower their expenses so they can build more housing. So they're going to do two homes in Champaign this summer. So they were proposing to spend $15,000 in CDBG funds for site clearance, which would just mean cutting down all the trees and leveling out the ground so they can build. And then my next slide, public service. The city has had a long-standing relationship with the Community Matters program, and this program provides youth services from the little kids in summer day camp to the high schoolers at Operation Hope that are preparing to go to college. So we've got $132,000 planned for that to continue this year. I will say, as we enter into our next consolidated plan that Betsy referenced, we'll probably be having conversations with council about where we move forward with public service funding, if we want to continue in the youth services area, or if we need to look at other options for public services like homelessness or housing. And with that, I'm going to pass it back to Betsy.
Thank you. As I said before, we do have other pots of money that go into our budget. The City of Champaign also receives home funds annually. Home funds are allocated to the Urbana Home Consortium and administered by the City of Urbana, as they are the lead of the home consortium. And the City of Urbana's annual action plan will include the City of Champaign's home activities. They won't be in this annual action plan, even though we are still going to carry them out. And based on last year's allocation, the total estimated home amount for the consortium is just under $780,000. While CDBG has a little more flexibility, home funds are more specifically used to create affordable housing units. The City of Champaign is allocating a little over $1 million in prior years' home funds to Bristol Place Senior Residences to create more affordable housing units, and the construction on that should start later this spring. So creating a plan takes a lot. It requires extensive public input. And as Jennifer said, we did a survey, and we've been going to neighborhood meetings, and, you know, we had a public hearing at NSAB, and we've, you know, just been reaching out to the public. Some of the comments that we've gotten so far are that people want us to continue our housing, affordable housing programs, and we've had a couple about youth services and homelessness. You know, those are the trend in the comments. The 30-day public comment period began on March 1st and ends April 1st. And copies of the plan can be found for review at both branches of the Champaign Public Library, at the Neighborhood Services offices at 205 West Park Avenue, and on the City of Champaign website. Since the actual allocation amount has not been received, it's likely that the April 16th council date will be delayed, and staff will present the final plan to council for approval before we submit it to HUD. So how can you get involved? Well, you could make public comment here tonight when we open the public comment. You could submit written comment to neighborhoodservices@champaignil.gov. And if there's any questions regarding the draft plan or the process, they can be directed to me, Betsy Barclay, at 217-403-7070. So now I'd like to switch gears and talk about bond cap. Under federal law, state and local governments may issue a certain amount of tax-free bonds for projects the federal government does not consider traditional government services. Private activity bonds are preferred by private business developers because the interest on the bonds is free from federal taxes. The city may use its bond authority for local purposes or reallocate that amount to the state or to another entity for their use. The proposal for this 2024 bond cap is to equally cede it to Illinois Assist, Illinois Housing Development Authority, and Eastern Illinois Economic Development Authority. The first Illinois Assist offers two mortgage products. The first program offers homebuyers a 30-year fixed rate mortgage with 3-7% cash grant for down payment and closing costs. The second program is a mortgage credit certificate that offers annual federal tax credit. IDA currently offers several mortgage products. Each product offers down payment assistance, closing cost assistance, and 30-year fixed rate mortgages to qualified home buyers. The products differ on the amount of the assistance provided and how the lien is treated. Home buyers can access these programs by going to participating local banks. Several local banks and members of the Community Reinvestment Group participate in both programs. The Eastern Illinois Economic Development Authority, or IEDA, allocates its bonding authority to economic development and affordable housing developments. IEDA plans to host an educational marketing session early in the summer with communities and economic development organizations to bring awareness to their bond financing programs. City staff are actively working with IEDA to connect them with developers that are interested in developing locally. Past projects in Champaign include Haven at the Market and Eden Supportive Living. So we are happy, that's our presentation. We're happy to answer any questions and ask council to consider alternative one, which is to direct staff to finalize the fiscal year 2024 annual action plan and the 2024 private activity volume cap bond allocation documents to be considered by council at a future meeting. Thank you.
Okay, so why don't we go ahead and do technical questions and then we can go to the public hearing. So are there any technical questions? Not seeing any. So if you all, well, and you may not need to leave because I don't know if anybody's here to for the public hearing, but I will now open the public hearing and declare it open. The city is seeking input during this public hearing regarding the FY24-25 annual action plan. The annual action plan provides an overview of the city's affordable housing and neighborhood improvement needs, as well as the proposed strategies for addressing them for the program year beginning July 1, 24 through June 30th, 25. The purpose of this public hearing is to provide an opportunity for all interested persons to give input on allocation of community development block grant funds in the upcoming annual action plan. All comments received will be responded to and included in the final plan that will be submitted to the Department of Housing and Urban Development in May. City staff will give a short presentation on the FY24-25 annual action plan, and then I will declare, well, they already gave it, sorry. I will declare the public hearing open. So I now declare it open. Is there anyone who wishes to address the action plan? See, you didn't have to leave, Jennifer. seeing that there is no one, I now declare the public hearing closed. Are there any council comments? Anybody? All right. Oh, Deputy Mayor.
Just wanted to thank you for your work. This is a really important subject. One of the slides that popped out or came out was the repairs to people's home. I know that was one of the things that you talked about throughout the presentation, and that's a really big deal, for particularly for people. Some of those expenses can get up there in cost, and so being able to do that not only is great for the homeowner, but it also improves the neighborhood. So thank you.
All right, so alternative one is direct staff to finalize the fiscal year 24-25 annual action plan and the 24 private activity volume cap bond allocation documents to be considered by council at a future meeting. Councilmember Williams.
Yes.
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 And yes, you have direction. Thank you very much. All right. We are now at the point of our meeting for general audience participation. Anyone wishing to address the council may step forward. Please limit your comments to 5 minutes or less, and please state your name and city of residence. You need to stand back there. Yep. The microphone back there. There you go. You're good. Okay, please begin. Please state your name and city of residence. Please limit your comments to 5 minutes or less.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. My name is Jocelyn Sada, and I reside in the city of Champaign.
My name is Hayden Gaskins, and I also reside in the city of Champaign.
My name is Lily Cuenga, and I reside in Urbana.
My name is Michael Gergany. I also reside in Urbana.
We are members of the Environmental Leadership Program at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, and this is an experiential learning program in which members get hands-on experience working with local leaders and fellow members to support legislation or community needs. We are here today to talk briefly with you about the importance of the Department of Energy's Energy Efficiency and Conservation Block Grant Program, or the EECBG grant, specifically with regard to the City of Champaign.
The grant itself, being a formula grant, allocated a total of $144,960 worth of federal funding to the City of Champaign for purposes of cutting carbon and fossil fuel emissions, improving energy efficiency, or reducing energy use in a variety of other ways. The program presents an opportunity for the city to explore different sustainability strategies at the local level. In the past, it has provided money to cities, counties, or municipalities to support energy management plans, electrification, solar panel installation, and environmental justice projects.
A prominent example of this is in Lancaster County, Nebraska. Lancaster County has a population of around 300,000 people, most of whom reside in Lincoln, the capital of Nebraska, which has a population somewhat comparable to the CU area. They were allotted an amount of $76,000, which is just around half of what we have available under the 2023 allocation for an energy management plan to electrify municipal buildings in the area. With this goal, they solarized 6 farms, 2 schools, 4 businesses, and a campground. In collaboration with the EECBG allocation received by the City of Lincoln through the competitive grant program, they were able to fulfill the goals they outlined in their energy management plan within a year. Securing this grant funding would allow the City of Champaign to forward their own sustainability initiatives.
We have been working with the city's environmental sustainability specialist, Samantha Grant, on the EECBG program in Champaign a bit over a month ago. We were able to learn a little bit more about her career and her plan for this grant program in the City of Champaign. Ms. Grant has been tireless in working to research this grant and understanding where it could be best used to support the City of Champaign. Through this, Ms. Grant identified a need to revitalize lighting structures within the city, and the money potentially received from this grant would allow these necessary upgrades to be made, and if done correctly, would be set up in neighborhoods most in need of these updates. With the allocation of the grant, the city would be able to conduct a thorough review of street light standards, which is extremely important. We urge the council to support Ms. Grant in her pursuit of this grant, and as we have seen the hard work and dedication that she's poured into this project and the great benefit to the entire city.
All right, thank you. We don't comment on public comment, so thank you for your presentation. Is there anyone else who wishes to address the council? Please step forward, state your name and city of residence. All right, seeing none.
I'd like to move that we go into closed session for employment, compensation, and performance of an employee, followed by adjournment.
Second.
So we need a roll call on closed session.
Councilmember Williams?
Yes.
Beck?
Yes.
Fulmer?
Yes.
Kyles?
Yes.
And Mayor Finan? One, two, three.
Yes, we are...
Yes.
Kathy Shannon. We are recessed into closed session to be followed by adjournment. Thank you.